Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 111 of Nerd Pride Radio. 111? Well, it's 111. That's how old Bilbo was when he finally handed the ring over to Frodo and took off for Elven lands. Pretty awesome. And, in fact, by weird coincidence, we were in Hastings, Nebraska yesterday watching the state marching band competition where we got a superior rating, which for those of you who don't know marching band ratings, that's the best one.
Woo!
So, yeah, go Aiden. And while we were there, we got a hotel, we stayed the night, and we asked the little kids what they wanted to watch, and we have Raiders of the Lost Ark from Netflix. We have the disc. And we thought we'd watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it turns out the kids really, really, really wanted to see Lord of the Rings. They wanted to see Fellowship of the Rings. They've never watched it. They've seen all three Hobbit movies. They've never watched the old ones because they were too young when they came out. So we watched it last night, and as the movie opens and they're celebrating Bilbo's 111th birthday, I went, hey, I'm recording my 111th episode of Nerd Pride tomorrow. This is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then later in the same movie... Yes?
Can I tell it?
Go ahead.
So, later in the movie, when Frodo wakes up from being poisoned from the Nazgul, Gandalf says that what time it is, and he says that it's October 24th. And coincidentally, in real life, it was October 24th.
We were watching it on October 24th, so clearly it was destiny.
Who's destiny?
So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How you doing?
I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to Averon about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my brain anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride Radio smells exactly like the Mines of Moria.
Is that really the best smelling?
But before the goblins invaded.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, see, exactly. before we get into the meticulously potted portion of this podcast, let's start off with some updates. Under updates, the Nerd Pride movie of the week is still going on and still having fun. We had some slow moments. People are getting busy. But we took a vote and we all said, no, come on, let's keep watching. And so this week we watched Wormwood Road of the Dead and had an awesome discussion on that one. You guys should really watch Wormwood Road of the Dead. It was my pick, and it was really good. All the movies that we watch on the Nerd Pride Radio Nerd Pride Movie of the Week Club, they're all available on Netflix streaming, so that way everyone has a chance to watch them. And like I say, every 2 weeks we get together, and then we have a talk about them, and it's fun. The next one, if you want to get in on this, and yeah, like I say, if you just want to stop in and just make a few comments, if you know the movie, if you've watched it with us, it's going to be Ravenous this week, and we will start the discussion on Sunday night. So go watch Ravenous and come join us. It'll be fun. But anyway, the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast is normally the time for me where I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week, and if something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I put it on my master list in my handy-dandy pocket mod, which, by the way, is completely shredded. The thing is just lost. I have to fold a new one tomorrow because I've got I can't work with this thing anymore. And then the best stuff off of that list would normally get spewed out all over you guys every week when I record.
Delicious.
You lucky dogs. However, this week, again, turns out that it got shredded, and, I mean, it is just falling apart, disintegrating in my hands. I'm going to have to be very careful with it in order to transfer over the two or three little things that are still left on it. But I have nothing for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. I suppose I could talk about podcasts for a little bit. I could do a Pod People segment and throw the music in. But really, for that one, all I've got on it is I've told you all about the Black Tapes podcast, and I've raved about them, and I've talked about them. And at the very end of the last Black Tapes podcast for this season, which, by the way, just leaves us on a big old cliffhanger, but they added on one extra episode, to which I thought, oh, great, this will be the hey, don't you love our podcast? If you want to help keep it going, here's how you can contribute. I thought it was just going to be a little fundraising thing for them, but no. The bonus episode was the first episode of the podcast Tannis. And so Tannis turns out to be same crew of people, same production company, and now they're exploring a different mystery. And Tannis has actually turned out to be pretty cool. And then I went out to find some more podcasts to fill up my time with, because I just keep churning them in, churning them out. There's, I've gotten rid of almost everything I used to listen to, and I've added in a bunch of new stuff. And Limetown is yet another one of these mystery podcasts. And I've discovered that, wow, I really like these mystery podcasts. I think these are awesome. These supernatural or freaky science, whatever they are, but mystery podcasts. And as I find Limetown, and I've now listened to everything they've got, which is only three episodes, it's only going to be seven episodes long, but I'm listening to Limetown, and I'm really enjoying it, and I'm realizing, oh, God, if there's enough of these out there, do I get sick of them eventually? Are they all going to start sounding alike? Oh, I hope not, because I'm really enjoying them for right now. So this is a genre of podcasts I really get into. So hold on. My son has his hand up, and he's waving it like a madman. What's up?
I have meticulously plotted stuff.
All right, he claims he has meticulously plotted something. What do you got?
I've got two horror movie reviews.
Oh, well, then in that case, hold on. We need a science fiction double feature. Science fiction! That's right, here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but two movie reviews for the same low, low price. I have no idea what he's going to talk about. I didn't know this was coming. I didn't even know he was going to be here for this podcast. So I can't keep track of all my children. I have so many. But anyway, he claims he's got two movie reviews for us. So let's get in on it.
I'm going to take your mic for a second. I have now have your mic.
Go for it.
My two movie reviews are actually two I've seen recently. No Netflix this time around, but the first one is The Visit, and the second one is Crimson Peak.
Oh, good deal. I've seen The Visit.
Oh.
Not Crimson Peak, though. I can't speak to that one. All right, go ahead. I'll stay out of your way.
The Visit, the plot is basically two kids go visit their grandparents. There you go. That's it. And it is piss-your-pants scary. Honestly. It is terrifying at every corner. And it's just the right amount of terrifying. The perfect amount of suspense and deliverance of jump scares where sometimes there's something there and sometimes there isn't. It was Shyamalan, I can never forgive you for Airbender, but this is a start.
Yeah, no, I'm with my son on this one. It was, it injected quite a bit of humor into the situation, but it was humor that was appropriate to the tone. And still delivered on a lot of real creepy tension. Because you know what? So many people find old people just creepy in general. And so a lot of the freakiness was, it's about the infirmities of being old in the first place. But, and every time it's like, well, okay, but that's really freaky. But, well, okay, maybe
old,
I just.
That's an actual thing that happens to old people.
Yeah, that's a line that was used a lot. Hey, it's just something that happens to old people.
And all of them really were!
Yeah, well, no, true. But anyway, yeah, good movie.
And then Crimson Peak, which Mike didn't see.
You can call me Dan.
No, I'll call you Mike. I'll be professional about it. But, plot. Woman marries guy. Guy's a real creep, lives in a creepy place with his creepy sister. There you go. There's the rundown. But throughout this, it is mostly creepy scary with a lot of points where you just want to grab the seat and cry softly. And...
in a good way or a bad way?
Yes.
Okay.
And I saw this with Jacob, who... Jacob isn't really big into horror movies. I mean, he is recently, but hasn't been for his entire life. So this all surprised me with The Visit and Babadook, which I still need to review. Crimson Peak. It surprised me on how well he's been taking this all. But anyway, there's a part where me and him burst out laughing, and we both know we shouldn't have.
The movie wasn't intending you to laugh?
No, not at all.
That's not a good sign.
Because, no, because there's a scene in the bedroom where the guy's gone, he disappears every so often, and she's just alone, holding a candle, and she's like, if you're here, show me a sign. And you can see the outline of a ghost walk by a lit window, and it has the most amazing swagger walk you've ever seen in your life. And it was beautiful.
Okay. So my question is, recommend? Don't recommend?
Oh, amazingly recommend. Brilliant story, brilliant scares, terrible CGI, but who cares about that?
That, I find that interesting. It was well reviewed online. And I am a big fan of Guillermo del Toro, in spite of Pacific Rim, which I know a lot of you really, really liked, and...
Whoa! Cut the cast! You didn't like Pacific Rim?
No.
What?
No.
What? How? What is wrong with it?
Alright. What is wrong with Pacific Rim is it is... I get what he was going for. He wants a giant monster movie. He wanted...
Yes! And that was brilliant!
He wanted the giant monsters versus giant mechas. Alright? And I get that. Everybody wants that. Alright? Any sane human being wants to see that.
And some insane human beings.
But, like the classic monster movies, the plot on the ground is unbelievably two-dimensional, one-dimensional even.
No one wanted plot. They wanted to watch things punch each other.
Right. But two-thirds of the movie was plot, and one-third, maybe less than one-third, was giant things punching each other. And
And
he had the opportunity to give us some very deep characters and some real character development, but instead we got the female lead, who is a very typical damsel in distress, and she comes in being unbelievably super capable. I mean, it's so stereotypical. Super capable female character who then, the minute we get the connection with the hero, she's relegated to damsel in distress. And she honestly does absolutely nothing to further the plot. The moment they get together, there was no reason for her to have to be there. Not to mention the fact that I suppose the country stereotypes, the Russians, the Australians, I suppose they were supposed to be funny. But they were so grotesquely cartoonish in their one-dimensionality that I really did not enjoy it at all. Go ahead.
So you're just a cynical hipster then?
No, I'm a guy who likes good movies, and that wasn't one. And look, and for those of you who did like it, I understand because the majority of people I know really liked Pacific Rim and can't wait for a Pacific Rim 2. That's fine. That's fine. You know what? You enjoyed it? Awesome. Me personally, I just couldn't get into it. I tried. So, anyway, all right. But my point, I'm going to take my mic back.
Aww.
I'm doing all the talking now. What are you here for? All right. So, anyway, no. So, anyway, and I'm sorry, as I'm moving the mic around, I'm sorry if I've got some extra mic noises as it's scraping across the table here.
Isn't everything you say mic noises?
It's all mic noises from here on out. So anyway.
Because your name is Mike.
Oh, that's right. Jokes are funnier when you explain them. But the point is that Guillermo del Toro, the first thing I saw by him that I knew was from him was Pan's Labyrinth. And Exactly. Fell in love with Pan's Labyrinth. Because it's
a brilliant movie.
It's gorgeous. It is beautiful. Everything about it, the atmosphere is perfect. And so when I saw Crimson Peak, and I'm thinking, ooh, gothic romance, fairy tale-ish sort
ghosts.
Of horror thing. I'm like, yeah, that's Del Toro's wheelhouse. That's what he does. And
does well.
And should be able to do well. So I am not going to go see it in the theater, but I'm looking forward to it. So
I will take it to you for free.
I you know what? You're right. You're right. We should make some time to go do that. Although, whoa. As long as I'm on it, Goosebumps. We all went to see Goosebumps.
No spoilers. Gosh, you wouldn't want any spoilers in that movie.
Okay. Go see Goosebumps. It is family friendly, and yet I thoroughly enjoyed it with or without the kids there. It was a great movie. Yes, it's clearly a family movie, and it is harmless scares and fun, but it was really well done. And especially if you've read any of the Goosebumps books and you know them, then that'll be doubly fun for you. I've never read them.
Really? Whoa, hold up.
I've never read a Goosebumps book. Jacob read.
You grew up when they were being written.
No, I didn't. That was after my time.
Really?
If there was Goosebumps when I was a kid, I would have read them. But no, that's way after my time.
Really?
All right, hold on. Let me verify. See, there was Aiden's mistake. Is yes, Goosebumps came out in 1992, which was well before he was born. So he just assumed that they had always existed, because by the time he got to junior high school, they were already old. But 92 was before I even married your mom. So therefore, it was after my time though, because I was 22. So
you could have read them.
I didn't. Strangely,
you could have.
Strangely, after I graduated from college, the first thing I did was not go out and buy Goosebumps. Can you believe that?
Irmagerd Goosebumps.
Irmagerd. So. Anyway, Goosebumps was a lot of fun. You guys should go see it. It really was. But enough of that. It's time for the pod-omatic. Sweet sassy molasses. This is the Nerd Pride Radio pod-omatic. At the end of every cast, or in this case, 15 minutes into the cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Podomatic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will at nerdprideradio.com/forums, and I will add it to my Podomatic list. Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. Anyway, number 45 is from my brother Kyle. And Kyle says, what's the worst that could happen? Wow, the worst that could happen? My gut instinct is to say I could fall in an open manhole and die. But that's not the worst. The worst would be a failed physics experiment that winds up unraveling some of the fundamental constants of the universe. We actually change, by the nature of what we've done, we change some of the physical laws of the universe, but only very slowly. And that results in a horrible, painful, agonizing death for every living thing on this planet that slowly spreads out to encompass the entire universe as reality unmakes itself, resulting in the slow, agonizing death of every living thing in the entire universe before it all winks out into nothingness as if we've never existed. That would be the worst that could happen. 49. Oh, I should number these. 49 is from... it's from Noah. My son Noah says, who wins in a race? Sonic or Mario? Okay. Look. The first answer is you want to say Sonic. Sonic should win in a race because...
Stop.
I know the answer.
Whoa.
I know the answer.
Hold up. What's the question?
Who wins in a race, Sonic or Mario?
Okay.
So Sonic should win because Sonic is built around speed. That's his whole point, is Sonic is speed. We get that. He's a fast hedgehog. But I know somebody has actually measured it out, and based on
How many of their own body lengths they move per second?
Exactly. Based on their body size and their scale to the environment, blah, 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 and measured out their actual speed. And they've measured that Mario is faster than Sonic, according to these. But, you know, that's only based on you trying to apply real-world physics and measurements to a video game. The essence of the video game is, except under maybe some very special circumstances, Sonic is generally faster than Mario. You know, and that's the way it should be.
There's actually a really good way of testing this. We should just go play Mario and Sonic the Olympic Games.
Right. Have you ever played it?
Yes. It's awful.
Really?
It's like any Olympic sport game.
Well, yeah, I played it when I was in college.
Whoa, hold up, what?
Oh, no, I played a different Olympic Games, because Sonic and Mario didn't match up together until later, right?
Right, I remember the first Sonic and Mario Olympic Games.
Yeah, no, that sounds terrible.
No, it's awful.
I remember, no, the Olympic Games I played in college, it was just terrible anyway. Olympic Games suck. So,
oh, no, not the real sports, the video game versions of them.
Right, video game versions of
Olympic. Any Olympians out there listening?
Right, because we have a lot of Olympians in our audience. Hold on. 05. 05 comes from...
me. No.
Wouldn't that be funny? No, it's from Mrs. Darks. Hello, Sarah Beth.
I look at the wrong numbers every time.
Sarah Beth says, if you had to wear one of the following for a year, which would you choose? A mullet, a ponytail, or an a la sever... I don't even know what that word is. Can you pronounce that? Well, clearly Google is going to be my friend here.
Suvanov.
Okay. Suvarov. I believe that's an R.
Is that an R?
Yeah, that's what happens when you have 7-point
it
font.
It doesn't matter, mullet all the way.
Huh. Well, as someone who has had both a ponytail and a mullet, I can speak with some authority on those. Let's find out what this other one is here.
And while he does that, let me tell you about a friend of mine that this is in...
Well, you have to get on mic if you're going to talk.
This is an actual thing that happened.
See, there's that noise again. That's what happens
when we
slide.
Sorry, people. But no, a friend of mine, we'll call him Michael for now, through his entire 8th and 9th grade, had an actual mullet. Like, and I kid you not, okay, that looks fancy. But an actual, I kid you not, mullet. And for our play this year, we're doing the, Case of the Haunted Carousel. He's supposed to be playing a guy from the 90s. And one of our play directors pulls a mullet out of the wig box. And everyone was like, yes! Michael needs to wear this. Bring back 8th grade Michael. And he outright rejected it.
Oh, so sad. He looked good in it, too.
Right! He did!
Alright, hold on. Alright, having looked this up, this is what I call my prison stash. And I've also worn this. So I, having had all three of these.
Mullet all the way still.
Let me speak with some authority. I had a mullet. In fact, for a while I had a permed mullet.
What?
Shut up.
Well, is there pictures of this?
No.
Can there be?
No, there are no pictures of this.
Why not?
I did, in college, have a permed mullet. I don't want to explain. I had a mullet for a long time, because mullets were actually cool back then.
Sure they were.
It was my hockey hair. So, I didn't play hockey, I'm kidding. So,
This is in the front, party in the back.
That's right. But after my mullet, I did go for the... full-on ponytail, which also rocked pretty well, if you don't mind looking like a greasy stoner. And then the a la whatever this is. All right, this is a mustache that
comes to your cyber.
Yeah. You shave off your goatee portion, and the mustache just comes down the sides and then joins up to your sideburns.
I could actually do that now.
Yeah, you could do it right this moment.
I'm not going to, but I could.
And when I say I've worn it, I mean I wore it for an evening because as I was shaving, I shaved my beard off in pieces.
Oh, was that the time you did the zebra?
Yeah, and then I did zebra stripes on it, and then I did, yeah. And so I actually did this where I shaved just the chin and the cheeks and left the connecting prison stash. Because here, now look, I do a Google search for this, and it certainly looks very classy on these hipsters here, because they have it all very neatly edged and trimmed and short and very, very fancy. When I did mine, it was a lot more rough around the edges, and therefore it looked like I just got out of prison.
Like that guy with his cat?
Right. Yes, like that guy. It looks like I should have been part of a biker gang. And so,
I mean, especially with your weight.
But. Given the choice, look, Sarah Beth has already told you to quit being so mean to me.
She's not my real mom.
As far as you know. I would wear the stash. I would go for the prison stash. Oh, God, I would love it. You know, look, Halloween's coming up. I should do it just for Halloween. I should get myself an appropriate outfit, shave it down, and do this for Halloween.
If I wasn't going as Etheria, I would totally.
Going as what?
My mask.
Oh, that's right. Your morph suit with mask. It's actually pretty cool. So, yeah, that would be my choice, is the a la Sarawa, whatever it is. A la Suvorov. I'm going to say Suvorov. That looks right.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I would definitely go for that one.
And it's also racist.
Oh, too late. Sorry, Rang. No more comments. 03.
R2 is liking those zeros.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that rule only applies to everyone but me. So.
Zero standard.
03 is from Aiden.
What? No way. What? I still have a question in here.
Yes.
All right.
Aiden says, what was your favorite pastime as a child? Depends on what age of child.
All of them.
At one point, it was giggling and pooping my pants.
Sometimes crying.
Yeah, but that was right after puberty. And then... Shh, you're so loud. Stop. Stop. It was an obvious joke. You keep laughing like that, you'll just encourage me. No, when I was young, Legos. Legos were the absolute best.
Legos.
I loved Legos, and I also loved building roads and cities and racetracks for my Matchbox cars in the dirt in the forest out behind our house. That was pretty cool, too. But Legos were number one. And then later, once I discovered Dungeons & Dragons, then Dungeons & Dragons. That would have been my favorite from 12 on. So, although I still like the Legos, too. So, there you go.
Mine? If yes. You'd let me speak.
Yes, since you want to answer Aiden's question here, go ahead.
Mine was probably Legos at a very young age. And then I began reading for a while. I mean, I'm stupid reading. But,
Yeah. I read a lot, too. Okay, but anyway.
Copycat. Anyway, but, and now it's mostly playing video games and researching video games, because I like the stories behind a lot of them, and the backstory and everything. It's just, it's as if I'm reading a book about something that I control.
Very nice. That's right, you are still a child, aren't you?
I know.
Yeah.
For a few months.
For 3 more months. 80. 80 is from...
Fun fact about the number 80, it's Mike's age.
80 is from Humongous. All right, Humongous says, have you played the old TSR board game Dungeon? No, not the old TSR board game Dungeon, but isn't the new one that Eli got for his birthday from the Texas Joneses, isn't that one called Dungeon? The one that we played down in Texas? The big board and all the dungeon rooms in it?
Oh, maybe?
Yes. Because if it's the same game, we've played that one a few times. And
it's fun.
It's fun. It's very fun. It is. It's very basic, but it's also very fun. So, and simple enough that that everybody got in on it and we had a good time. So... but no, I've never played the original one from TSR. I've played the new one, which I assume is put out by Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast. But
what is it put out by Hasbro anymore?
Oh, nothing. 58. 58 is from... 58 is... Oh, hey, it's also from Humongous. Have you ever played a steampunk game?
Does Shadowrun count?
No.
Oh.
No, that's Cyberpunk.
What's the difference?
Cyberpunk is, as Shadowrun says, it's the melding of man and machine, with magic in their case. But,
then it's science fiction.
No. Cyberpunk is a very specific near future, focuses on being able to connect yourself with machines and computers, cybernetic enhancements of the body.
Steampunk.
No, steampunk is Victorian era, like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen style.
Most things nowadays is an amalgamation between the two, and it's still called steampunk.
No, you don't know what you're talking about.
I do know what I'm talking
about. Don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, old man.
No. And in fact, I'm wanting to stop you now before you embarrass yourself further, because the feedback on this will have a whole bunch of people telling you that you don't know what you're talking about.
At least you're getting feedback.
You're right. Thank you. Thank you, Aiden, for being on my show. I appreciate that. You help. Wait, we didn't answer the question. Sorry, R2, you'll have to wait. The answer is, no, I don't think I've ever played in an actual steampunk game. I love steampunk stuff because, God, it's so cool. But I don't think I've ever actually played in... I did once where I played in a... It was a version of D&D put on by my friend Kaz Granberg, and we only barely got started on it. It was a melding of worlds where a D&D world, their dimension had crashed into ours, and so we wound up with D&D style races and characters mixed with modern Earth, but in a setting that had reverted to a steampunk level of technology. And it was actually really cool, but man, we didn't get far enough with it. It was awesome. I really enjoyed that world. So yes, I've done that a little bit, but never done anything for an extended period. Nothing too serious. Anyway.
We already wrote the number.
I know. Thank you for stopping me. The number that came up was 92. 92 is from... Oh, I missed it. There it is. Ronster. Ronster says, through the convergence of celestial anomalies and a stubborn self-will, you can send a 140-character message to your 18-year-old self. What is the message?
Don't wear the mullet.
Okay, I got a lot of characters left over.
That's all you need.
No. To my 18-year-old self, it would be, oh, man, there's so much that kid needs to know. And he's not going to listen to anything I say. He's really not. Even if I could somehow...
Even if you get the space text.
Even
throw a meme that he doesn't have yet.
Right. Even if I could somehow convince him that this tweet from the future was a real thing, I don't even know what I would tell him. I mean, because also it's one of those things where you'd be afraid to change the past, because if I change the past, then does that mean
you never sent that message?
Does that mean I'm not who I am today? I'm not gonna worry about the paradox business.
Should, because that's world ending.
Because if I wind up telling him not to get the perm, for example, that would be a good one to tell him. If I told him not to get the perm, would that mean that I then subsequently don't have Aiden here with me to do a podcast?
Well, then you wouldn't know that, because everything would reset. So no consequences would come to you, because none of this ever happened.
I understand that, but I kind of like what I have here.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know that you had it in the first place.
I don't know. I would tell him. 140 characters, though. Keep playing Dungeons and Dragons. That really encapsulates a lot of it, because I spent from right about the time I turned 18, maybe from 17 through about 21, I spent a lot of time trying to deny that I was a nerd. Trying to become something else, because I thought it would make me cooler, it would help me find a girlfriend, it would help me It would help me be happier. It would help me. I don't know what I was thinking, but I was pushing away all the nerd things I had always enjoyed so I could try and pretend I was something different. And I wish I hadn't wasted all that time. I wish I could have continued doing all that stuff and just embraced it and been happy with myself. And I think the simplest way to tell him is don't stop playing Dungeons and Dragons. God, that's so vital. So anyway, that would be the one.
My mom would be happy birthday.
If you wait, no. I've got this all backwards. If I could send a message back to 18-year-old me, it would be invest in Facebook. The hell was I thinking? Be true to yourself. That's garbage. Invest in Facebook. Mike, are you listening? No, I know it doesn't make any sense. Just trust me on this. The first time you hear those words, dump every bit of money you have into it. Okay. Oh, God. I mean, seriously, there's no... all right, anyway, doesn't matter. 70.
That was such a polar opposite thing.
Yeah, well, because I realized that I'm sitting here trying to figure out how to make him happy and bring some existential joy to my 18-year-old self, and I realized he's too stupid to listen to me anyway.
Invest in Facebook.
I was a dumbass, but you tell your past self to invest in Facebook when Facebook first comes around. In fact, invest every bit of money you have in Facebook. Take out loans to invest in Facebook if you have to. All right, because when he hears that message from his future self, he will listen to that. It'll come up and he'll go, wow, this Facebook thing seems stupid, but I'm going to trust future me on this one. It seemed really important.
Okay, but then what happens when the butterfly effect comes into play and Facebook doesn't become big because of that message?
Right. When I send that message back and somehow my $20,000 that I would scrape together to put into it somehow, like 18-year-old, well, how old was I when I could have been investing in Facebook? Oh, wait, no, Facebook didn't go public until much, much later. Crap, I would have to find something better.
Invest in MySpace.
Yes. Oh,
no,
dear
don't
God.
Actually
yeah,
do
no,
that.
No, don't do that. It would be something like that. Or you know what? I could just look him up and give him Powerball numbers. I mean, how tough would it be? I would send him a date, the word Powerball, and then a series of six numbers. It would be super easy.
And you could do that multiple times because you have 140 characters.
I only need to do it once. I wouldn't be greedy.
But you totally could be.
You don't need to.
Anyway, R2 has spoken, 70.
70. 70 is from Stan. Stan says, do you bake? No, sometimes. Not much. I'm not much of a baker.
Father-son cake bake?
What? Right.
Many years.
I know, and they're ugly and horrible.
Oh, come on!
They are the father-son cake.
We have made $300 on one cake.
From your grandpa.
They didn't need to know that.
Well, anyway, I do bake, but not often. Baking is not my forte. I love to cook, but baking is just not it. You want a baker, you go talk to Yancey. Oh, my God.
Really?
Yes! Oh, I always tell Yancey he would make someone a perfect wife someday, which I know sounds really sexist and that's terrible of me to say
would.
That. But yeah, for being such a, I mean, he's a very traditional redneck, very stereotypical with his hunting and his fishing and his dogs and his, that's the kind of life he's grown up with. And yet he also, you know, he can appreciate figure skating. And he loves to bake. He cooks a lot, but more than just cooking, he loves baking. And he will bring in treats every couple of weeks. He'll have something that either is he's just proud and wants to show it off, or, well, I tried this last night and it kind of failed, but it still tastes awesome. And so.
One of my friends at school, her father just became the, manager of the floral department at Hy-Vee.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's a good job.
He's a larger kind of guy.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, to me, Yancey, Baker. And so, yeah, I apologize for that whole stereotype thing. That was not, that was a poor phrasing on that. But still, you guys get the point I'm trying to make. Is that if you are one who has grown up with all of these gender stereotypes, Yancey is one who kind of flies in the face of a lot of them, which is really surprising because, you know, if you meet his family, not his wife and kid, they're all right. But his other family back home, they're a lot more traditional than he is, and he's kind of moved beyond that. So it's kind of cool. Anyway, otherwise, is there anything particular I bake that I'm proud of? Not really.
Brownies.
Yeah, I do. Well, but I do brownies from a mix. I do. The only thing I really do from scratch is cookies, and even cookies, most of the time, I just go out and buy the cookie dough.
I just get baked.
I'm lazy. So you do not, you big liar. Don't even put that out there. I'm not going to let you on the cast anymore. I'm sorry. 56 is from, and how far in are we? Oh, we're about 40 minutes. You guys have noticed I've been shortening up the podcasts lately. I haven't had as much time as I used to, and so I'm taking Zimny Pot's recommendation. I know other people have suggested this as well, but Zimny brings up all the time. It's like, dude, when the pressure starts to get on you, why don't you just do shorter casts? It's possible that you could just not spend 2 hours recording every time, and maybe it would be easier for you to put them out there. So that's what I'm doing. And some people have responded well to that, because some people don't like an hour and 45 minutes every week. So you know what? For now, you know, this week, maybe the next few weeks, I'm going to keep doing shorter ones just because that's the kind of time I've got for the recording and the editing and the whole business. So that's where we're going with it. So we'll do maybe one or two more here, but we're about done. 56 is from Kyle. Kyle says, I have tinnitus. It happened after my eardrum ruptured a couple of years ago. If you concentrate really hard, what do you hear? Any high-pitched ringing? Oh, yeah, okay.
No.
I have a great answer for this. Me personally, yes. Anytime I am in silence, I can hear it right now. If I think about it, yeah, I've got high-pitched ringing in my ears all the time. And it's not bad to me. I'm sorry, I keep putting silence on for you guys as if you can hear the ringing in my ears. But, but here, watch this. Let me give it just 1 second. Yeah, it's there, and it's actually pretty loud if I think about it. But my mind doesn't notice it. It just doesn't.
Do you really have tinnitus?
Doesn't bother. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have a constant ringing in my ears, but it's not. Like I say, I don't notice it. Now, here's the thing: for people who have severe tinnitus, or there are some people for whom it is debilitating, and I think about this every now and then. You'll get a shift in your environment, and I think everybody gets this once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Where your ear is popping, or some piece of electronics just came on in the next room, or something happens, and all of a sudden the ringing in your ears
is just splitting.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's unbearable for just like 3 seconds, and you hear it, and you're like, oh, what the hell is that?
And you plug your ear, and it gets immediately better.
Right. And it happens for just a few seconds, and then it's gone. And that's pretty normal. It happens to everybody. Well, from my understanding, people with severe tinnitus, that's how it is all the time.
Oh,
every moment
God.
Of every day is that ringing, and it fades a little, it intensifies a little, but it's always at that level of you can't even really concentrate. Lisa has had a ringing in her ears for a year now that is really severe, more severe than mine. She was losing sleep over it. It would wake her up at night.
But the doctor just thinks she's crazy.
No. They tracked it down and they were trying to find stuff, and ultimately they realized that, no, it's just severe tinnitus.
Really? Didn't they give her anxiety pills, though?
They tried for a little bit. They were seeing that, well, because it wasn't even the idea was, okay, the tinnitus is there and there's nothing you can do about it. But maybe if you take some anxiety pills, maybe it'll help you just not worry about it so much. Turns out, no, didn't make any difference for her. But the concept with hers is Yeah, it was driving her crazy for a while, and ultimately, once we got through all the testing, and the doctors could finally confirm that, okay, it really is just tinnitus, which you say just in quotes, but it's it's just tinnitus, and therefore it's not dangerous. There's nothing there that's going to
eat away at your ear.
Right. She's not dying. It's not a sign of something more severe going on. It's not going to hurt her, and it's not, you know, and she's not going deaf. It's just a permanent ringing in her ears. And once she got to that point, we were just talking about this. She said she had to go through a mourning period where she finally came to terms with the idea of, okay, I will never hear silence again. And that was a really tough thing for her.
Jesus. Put it into that perspective, well, and it's...
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, God.
Yeah. And she said that was really, really hard for her. But once she got past that, he's going to go hug his mom. Once she got past that point, she was able to come to terms with it and realize that, okay, at least now I can move on. And, you know, because up till then, there was always, that worry of was it something more serious? And B, the concept of, okay, but is there something we can do about it? I mean, these things I feel like I've lost because of the tinnitus. Is there any way I'm going to get them back? And once she realized that, no, there wasn't, then okay. Now she can make peace with it and move forward. But, yeah, tinnitus sucks, dude, at least from what I hear. I mean, my suffering from tinnitus is I have to live with someone who suffers from tinnitus. So I don't know. How bad is yours? You don't say how bad yours is. But, yeah. I've always got that ringing going on. Always. 53 is from Humongous again. And Humongous said, oh, hold on, I forgot the number, Kyle's. There we go. And Humongous, there we go. Have you ever considered joining the SCA and doing armored fighting, the Society for Creative Anachronism? I have considered it. I've thought about... have you ever considered joining the SCA, the Society for Creative Anachronism, and doing armored fighting? I have thought about it. I've thought about...
Large-scale LARPing?
Yeah, exactly. I've thought about doing foam core fighting. Were you there? No, you couldn't make it. The one good thing at the last Scout Jubilee... Well, okay, two good things, because one was the Smash Mouth concert, which was surprisingly awesome. But the second cool thing was... they had a huge field where they were doing foam core weapons, and they taught the kids how to what the rules of the game were and how to fight with the foam core stuff, and then let them loose, and they had a really good time. I've considered it, but just never really gotten around to it. This is not something I'm into yet, but could be someday when I get rid of these stupid kids and I've got more free time. I could see that happening. 30. Let's make this one the last one.
There's like two more after that.
30 is from Kyle. Kyle says, can you read in your dreams? I thought I could until I read an article that says you can't. Then I realized I can't. Thoughts?
You know I can.
I don't know if I can because I've never made any effort. I will try and pay attention to it next time I dream.
I remember vividly a dream of me walking through a large city and large signs. I don't remember what they said, but I remember being able to read them in my dream, so.
Yeah, I feel like this is a myth.
Yeah.
Because conceivably anything that you could do while you're awake, you should be able to do while you're dreaming. I mean, your dreams are just coming out of your mind, so therefore...
It's sort of like the myth that you can't generate new faces in your dreams.
Well.
Which you totally can.
And also I think part of the problem is although I imagine if I went to pick up a book and read it in my dreams, I would not be able to read the book in my dreams. Because, and this is a problem I have with wait a minute, now that he brings it up. Yes, I have tried to read books in my dreams and cannot. He's absolutely right on that. Now, I know I have seen signs in my dreams, you know, like big old, you know, road signs or whatever. I know I have seen signs in my dreams and I have been able to read them perfectly clearly. And when I pick up a book or a piece of paper with writing on it in my dreams, I start to read it, and the first few words are always perfectly clear. I have no problem reading the first line or two, but then the problem that comes after that is it's my dream, and so therefore, God, I'm surprised. I haven't thought about this in years. It is my dream, and so the problem is I'm trying to read something while my mind is trying to generate what it is that I'm reading. And I don't think I can work fast enough to do both at the same time.
So it's sort of like reading a page out of the Library of Babel?
Yeah, it's like, well, it's, yeah, exactly. It's like trying to read, and I remember...
It's trying to write what you're reading at the same time.
Yes, I distinctly remember having dreams, and this is where the dream will break down and I'll realize I'm dreaming, because I'll start to read something, and then after the first line, it just goes to nonsense and I have no idea what's there, and then I'll be like, oh, that's right, because I'm dreaming. And if I want something to be on that page, I would have to come up with it. But I am not smart enough to know what would be in a physics textbook or whatever book it would be. I mean, I say physics off the top of my head, but it could be any book.
Jacob could probably read at least one book in his dreams.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Waiting for Godot?
That's true. See, now my son has Waiting for Godot memorized. So.
The entire book!
So, yeah, he could do that one. But, I think you're absolutely right. And it's not just reading. It's any sort of story where I've had this happen several times in my dreams where I'm waiting to see whether it's a TV show or a movie or a something. And once I get interested in like, oh crap, I need to know this. What's going to happen next? I have to know. And then it'll all start to break down because that's when I realize, oh, but I'm the one composing this story. Well, it's not going to do me any good if it's just coming out of my own head. That's not helping me at all.
Speaking of can't wait, those dreams where, like it's one of those amazing dreams that you're having, and it's so wonderful, like, suspenseful and everything, and then you wake up, and you're like, well, crap, now I have to know how it ends. And then you go to sleep, and it's a totally different dream. You're like, God dang it.
Yeah, I hate that. I can never go back to sleep and get back in the same dream.
I've done it
a couple
times.
Not on purpose, I can't. I can if it's a horrible nightmare where I'm being chased by zombie vampires.
Wait, something happened?
I will wake up, and then I'll go, oh, thank God, it was just a dream.
Oh, God!
And then, yeah, I wait about 2 minutes, and then I go back to sleep, and then it's the exact same dream. And so I wake up again, and then the second time, I'm afraid to go back to sleep.
That reoccurring nightmare I told you about the other week...
Okay.
Yeah, that's what happens with it every time. I do that about 3 times a night when it happens.
I hate that. Ugh. Hate it. Okay, but that was the last one. We are all finished up, so I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS. She will give you a recap of this week's episode.
And I'm going to bed.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like...
No way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Science Fiction Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. All the songs I use on my podcast are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, why, you could write me a nice review, a 5-star review even, in whatever service it is that you use to subscribe to this podcast. Or you could recommend it to a friend. That's the best one. If you enjoy this podcast, seriously, spread it around to your friends. Let them enjoy it. Welcome more people into our Nerd Pride fold. That's what we do. If you want to get your very own pocket mod, go over to pocketmod.com. They'll give you instructions. You can print one up and fold it all by yourself absolutely for free. Don't forget to check out the free games I have available on my free games page. Instant Game, Animal Ball Melee, Sandbox Hill, 2/3 of a Dozen Others, all free. All the time. If you want to contact me, Mike@nerdprideradio.com, facebook.com/nerdprideradio, on Twitter @nerdprideradio. But the very best way to get in touch with me, you come sign up for my forums, nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together, we'll become best friends in the world. These dogs are loud. Aiden's just putting them to bed. Sorry. We'll have fun. I'm not going to do that. which means it's time for listener betrayal at the beginning of every cast. If I remember it, hopefully I remember it. I go out to Facebook and I go out to my website, nerdprideradio.com/forums, and I post up that I am recording, and then whatever you guys write under those, I will read off right here at the end of this cast. So that's what I'm doing. Let's go on over to, what do you want to do first? Let's do Facebook first this time. Facebook is, let's see, look, I have comments on my post. That's exactly what I was hoping for. And they're from Sarah Beth. Awesome. The first one, hold on, done. First one says, hi, Mike, and again, from Sarah Beth. Hi, Mike, I am so excited to game this week, and then it's Halloween, then the next day, it'll be 1.5 hours of Walking Dead. Best week ever, right? All right. Let me take these in order. So excited to game this week. Oh, no kidding. No kidding. Sarah Beth's in on our Pathfinder game, the Rise of the Runelords game run by her husband, DM Darks, who is awesome. How awesome is DM Darks? Seriously. And then, let's see, says, then it's Halloween. Yes, yes, yes. The kids are getting old. The kids are getting so old. It's finally gotten to, Eli, this may be his last year of trick-or-treating. He's in sixth grade now. So, and he doesn't even want his dad around anymore. His parents can really just wander away and leave him alone. Because it's going to be him and his bros. And they're dressing up on a theme this year, supposedly. I don't understand what's going on. And they're going to go out and terrorize the town and get some candy. And they're going to have an awesome time. And Noah's still got a couple years left after this. But Noah has already picked out his costume, and he is going to be Death. Because, and I don't know why, all of my kids, all of them, have had at least one or two years of trick-or-treating that they want to go out as a Grim Reaper. They want to go out as Death. They want to go out with a black hood and a scary mask and a huge scythe or sickle with which to reap souls. All of them have wanted to do this, and now it's Noah's turn. So he's on it. But I'll go around with him and maybe kind of keep an eye on his brother and the other group. I mean, it's a small town and everybody knows each other, and the cop on duty that night patrols pretty regularly, and he's really nice. The cop comes around, he hands out glow sticks to all the kids and keeps an eye on things. And so it's a pretty safe night of trick-or-treating. But still, I want to keep an eye on them more to make sure they don't cause any trouble more than anything else. But we'll see. And then 1.5 hours of Walking Dead. I wouldn't know. I'm just about to start season 4 of Walking Dead because I only watch it when it comes out on Netflix Instant Watch. So I'll be getting there. But I imagine that this is going to be awesome for you. So best week ever, right? You bet. Our town does a this is Sarah Beth again. Our town does a production of the Thriller Dance on the lawn of the elementary school whenever Halloween, whenever Halloween falls on a Friday or Saturday, it's also awesome. God, that would be so cool. They've been rehearsing at least a month. I'll post some pictures of the cool decor on my street and on the forums, too. We average around 350 trick-or-treaters, and I cannot wait. Does your town do anything cool for Halloween? Us personally, we do not. Our town is a little bit bigger. The little town where we go to school and where we do our trick-or-treating. No, more than anything, it's just trick-or-treating. I mean, yeah, there's some Halloween parties that are sponsored by various organizations and stuff like that, but nothing super big or super fancy. So we're not nearly as cool as doing a huge Thriller Dance at the elementary school, so I'm jealous. And then Sarah Beth follows up with another comment that says, I no longer trust Facebook. Did my rambling comment show up? If you mean the one above, yes. Yes, it absolutely did. So we are good to go. And that's it for Facebook.
If you're going to betray them, why not just do a whole mutiny?
So, because it's not called Listener Mutiny, it's called Listener Betrayal. And you know why it's called Listener Betrayal? Because when I asked them to come up with a name for the segment, they all betrayed me and didn't come up with anything. So I called it Listener Betrayal, which is, it's ironic. Is this a proper use of the word ironic? Because Listener Betrayal is all about them helping me out at the end of the cast. It's all about them providing content for me. The only way they could betray me is by not participating in Betrayal. So, kind of sad, really. Let me do a quick...
No, actually, we did actually have an episode of Listener Mutiny scheduled.
Yeah, they can't hear you from over there. He said that there was listener mutiny scheduled.
But then my friends graduated.
Right, but that was at the We Hate Nerd Pride club that you guys have every week. So
well, we don't. It's not I hate nerd pride. It's I hate most so things.
Here I am at my forums, and on my forums, as I just said, the only way you can betray me is by not showing up for the betrayal. Well, on the forums, no one showed up for the betrayal. But again, I'm doing shorter casts now. I'm only recording for an hour, and again, it's late on a Sunday night. If I want more feedback, then I would have to do it during the day. I really got to get back to doing that. So anyway, hey, it's been an awesome night. I appreciate you guys. I'm sorry, have I been a little low energy? Have I? Because we've been, like I say, we went to, all right, this is the final weekend of the million things to do weekends, all right? Because we've been forever. We went to a wedding, and then the next week, and it was an out-of-town wedding, and we had to get a hotel. And then another out-of-town wedding, and we had to get a hotel. And then I had to go out camping with the scouts. And now this weekend, we went to go see State Band out in Hastings, and so we were gone all weekend for that. And I'm exhausted. I think I'm going to just take a couple of vacation days off of work. I can't this week because Yancey's gone, but I'm going to take a couple of vacation days off of work coming up and just stay home, get a nap, get some stuff done, you know, but next weekend should be better. I know you're thinking, but Mike, it's going to be Halloween. You're going to be busy. It's not going to be that bad. I mean, Halloween is, you know, we have to go out trick-or-treating that night, but other than that, for the most part, I think we can relax. And, and Jacob's going to be running a Pathfinder game for us. I get to be a player. This is so cool, because he really, him and his fiance, really want to play some Pathfinder. And she has done, informal role-playing, through, you know, forums and text function, and she's done all sorts of informal role-playing where they create a story together, but she's never done a game with rules. And so she really, really wants to play Pathfinder, and Jacob really wants to run the game for her and some friends, but he doesn't feel like he has a firm enough grasp on the rules all by himself. And so therefore, he wants to start, and then this way it'll give her a chance to learn without being self-conscious, because it'll just be us. He wants to run the game for us and have me there either as a player or just sitting around watching, which I'll be a player, by God. And then that way, I can give him whatever pointers he wants, if he needs, you know, if he wants help or if he wants, you know, whatever. I'll be there, and I can provide him some guidance. And while I'm providing some guidance, I can provide the same guidance for Eli, who really wants to be a game master for a group of his friends. And so hopefully, I've trained some dungeon masters, and now I can stop dungeon mastering altogether. This will be the best. So I'm looking forward to that. Maybe we'll do that next weekend. But either way, doesn't make any difference. It'll be a fun weekend. It'll be one without all the high pressure. I'll get to sleep in my own bed, and it'll be relaxing, and it'll be wonderful. So, anyway, again, thanks for being here, guys. It's been awesome, and I will actually prepare some material for next week, and we'll have fun. Say goodnight, R2.